It's interesting. It's what we call the synoptic gospels, because the gospel of Matthew and Luke are similar, but they're different. As you know, that's not the Lord's Prayer that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, that when we come to do it. In the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus taught them how to pray, he did a little different. And then later on, he was talking about how to pray, and it's more familiar with the one that we learned by rote, to say the Lord's Prayer. But what is the right way to pray anyhow? Now, I don't know about you, but I, like many, wrestle with issues. And so we deal with grief and disillusionment. We deal with addiction. We all have addictions, even though it's not all the same. But we all have addictions of some type. And also we got interpersonal struggles. And we explore ways in which we anchor and define our identity and celebrate determination and persistence that drive us to keep on moving forward into an uncertain future, even in the face of despair. Well, our culture today, most of us are dealing with some kind of grief. For some of us, it might be personal. Our lives might be filled with worry and stressors and relationships, complications, struggles to find our place in the world. Where do we fit? Others of us may feel conflicted or fearful and sad and mournful about afflictions of our neighbors and others. Within this country and also around the world, 24/7 news cycle and the different things, we can see what's going on. We can watch wars and going on in living color, and right away, it's amazing. So there's violence all around the world. There's oppression, and dissension flourishes in our society. Still, others may simply be searching for a greater purpose, a more fulfilling life, a more foundational sense of our identity and who we are. And whatever our challenges are, whatever our journey, walking with Jesus through it can make all the difference in the world. So the scripture that Tina read was from Luke's gospel. Luke was a medical doctor, and he was with Jesus. And Dr. Luke seems curious to us, perhaps, as we see Jesus and his disciples asking Jesus to tell them the right way to pray. And that's what it said in here. Teach us like John the Baptist taught his disciples. So what's the right way to pray? Well, I don't think it's quite as confusing as we might understand, because in the Jewish faith, they had and still have significant prayer life and various prayers. You'll see on television a lot where they stand at the wailing wall and pray and stick little pieces of paper in there. Prayer is a very important part of the life of the Jewish people, not only in Israel, but all around the world. First century Jews would typically pray three times a day, 9 o'clock in the morning, at noon, and 3 p.m. Outside of these daily ritual prayers, they would engage in other ritualistic prayers surrounding meals, during holiday feasts, especially on the Sabbath, in times of mourning, in times of worship. For the Jewish people, ritual prayer is a part of the way of worshiping and experiencing life, and to demonstrate their service to God. By recognizing God as the center of their life and the well-being, the Jesus way includes this concept as well. That's how I came up in terms of that podcast or radio ministry that I have. The Word is the way to life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, which is Jesus. And he shows us the way to life. So the Jesus way includes this concept of prayer. Now, the particular passage that Tina read, Jesus seems to be addressing prayer amidst a number of different teaching topics, like knock and you shall find and all of that. And he addresses a few kind of prayers, all magnifying the provisions and the power of God Almighty. So this first example of prayer Jesus offers is a ritualistic daily prayer. But in the Jewish tradition, the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer is actually called the Disciples' Prayer. Now, the real Lord's Prayer, my humble opinion, you can find over in John 17. So why do you say that, preacher? Well, John 17, guess who is praying for us? You, me. Jesus is praying for us. To me, that's the real Lord's Prayer. But the disciple prayer is really important because Jesus taught it. So it is the Lord's Prayer that he taught. I digress. The entire first part of the Lord's Prayer seems to echo the greatness of God, praising God, and longing for God's kingdom to be established. And then the second part of the Lord's Prayer has to do with daily provisions, forgiveness, and they both seem to stem from another Jewish prayer called to refer to where we stand and where we are in the relationship with God. And then God's kindness and provision and healing and the saving nature of God is in this prayer. And then the final line, not present in the Luke passage, appears to echo the vow of the Shema. Now, Hebrew Shema simply means hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. So these three prayers emphasize the most important elements of the Jewish prayer tradition. And Jesus was raised as a Jew. Jesus seemed to be explaining to his disciples the importance of daily prayer that honored God and keeping the attributes of God in mind and keeping the heart aligned. But Jesus adds these ritual prayers in another kind of prayer. The idea of praying to God as King David did and others on a very personal level. For Jesus, God is like a parent to us. And we can also ask our heavenly parent in prayer for needs that we feel urgently or important to us. And this part of Luke's gospel, Jesus urges us to seek God's presence, pray persistently and often for those needs that matter to us, and to trust God that God will listen and act in our behalf. He always answers prayer, not necessarily in our time frame, the way we think that he should, but if you look back on your life, some of the things that you prayed for in your life, you'll see those prayers were answered. Maybe not the way you wanted, or maybe it was like, okay, not right now, but later on or whatever, but the prayer is always answered. And Jesus gives the first example of how the human heart may be moving to caring and moving to action. We need action. And then he notes that God is so much greater, more benevolent, more caring, and more responsive than any human being. Whereas humans, we struggle with selfish motives. God cares deeply for all creation and will always give good gifts, as he was talking about in that little teaching, giving abundantly to those who seek and knock and pray earnestly. And then Jesus wants us to know that prayer matters. That praying multiple times a day is not an empty ritual, but deeply personal and meaningful and connected endeavor that helps us not only stay close to God, but to let God know our needs and the needs of others. Most of all, Jesus bids us to ask for the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a very important part of this whole concept of prayer, because when you get Jesus in your life, you don't get him in pieces, you get him all. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, most of all, I think Jesus bids us to ask for guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. He said that in that little litany that Tina just read in his teaching. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Then Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, praying for the movement, the power and the wisdom and the infusion of the Holy Spirit is the most powerful prayer that we can pray. Because trusting the Holy Spirit, we put ourselves fully into God's hands, willing to follow God's will no matter what God decides by inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives. Now the Holy Spirit is really, and he's also a person, like Jesus' person, God's a person. And the Holy Spirit is interesting. He wants us to have a relationship. But the Holy Spirit will never be anywhere that he's not welcome. It's like a child. A child knows whether he's welcome or not in a family or anything. They just instinctively know. So the Holy Spirit's that way. He will never force himself upon you. He will always be the one who teaches and always be the one that convicting and so forth. But he'll never interact with you unless you want him to. So it's important to recognize the Spirit of the living God in your life. That's why we spent 17 weeks on the Holy Spirit's book. It's an important concept of our spiritual life that sometimes we overlook. But the Holy Spirit is important. So if we open ourselves up to the subject in our prayers, the dynamic, saving, healing, and challenging power of God to God's divine intervention in our lives and into the lives of others, then we invite the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it takes deep faith and trust in God's loving and caring Spirit, God's wisdom and mercy, God's ability to transform and to move and to change and to act within our world. But I love the buts and the ifs. But Jesus assures us that when we put our faith and trust in God and ask for God's intervention, God will answer. God will act. So the act of prayer for Jesus is a humble and humbling activity. From the lines that Jesus emphasizes, which declares God's magnificent, magnanimous grace, to his personalization of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we become vitally aware of our place in God's kingdom, his expansive kingdom, which goes far beyond what we understand in our world, and yet a God who invests deeply in each and every one of us. Every one of us are unique. There's not another one like you anywhere in the world. Praise be to God. I told you that. She said, I'm grateful there's no other Ralphie here. One's enough. And, but we're unique, all of us. But that small yet important piece of that teaching that Luke introduces us to regarding the matter in which we should pray helps us to understand the kind of relationship with God that Jesus imagines for all of us. You know, you hear me talk about imagination in the scriptures, and put yourself in the scriptures, and Jesus imagined what his kingdom would be like, what we would be like, and he fulfilled it. Every deeply personal encounter in which every one of us is treated to cherish a son or a daughter of God, for all of us, God is a good parent. Unlike human parents. I don't know about you, but I'm a human parent and I got a lot of flaws. I got a lot of selfish motives. Just ask my kids. But it's safe for us to be in a relationship with God the Father. It's safe for us to put our trust in God. It's safe for us to express our deepest and most vulnerable needs to God and to lean on God for sustenance and comfort and transformation. For God cannot help us unless and until we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Transformational power. Because Jesus is not here with us in the physical realm, but he is here with us because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So how can that be if he's not here in the physical realm? He said, I'm going to send one greater than me, the Holy Spirit. And here he is. Welcome, Holy Spirit. So, when we do, and when we know that God entirely, in a powerful way, is here with us, and Jesus also, it's hard. It's hard for humans to trust, to lean on anyone else in our lives, and in our own hearts. You see, our human world can be fickle. We can get easily hurt, rejected, pushed aside by those who claim to love us and to care for us. Look what they did to Jesus. That's why he understands. That's why he is the perfect intercessor for us. He can say, Patty, I know what they're going through. Remember I was down there? Remember they spit on me and they whipped me and cut me up, put me up on that cross? I know the hurt. But Jesus then in this passage in Luke again, in countless ways throughout the gospel, that our relationship with God is different. We can trust God. And God will never abandon us or deceive us, for we are his beloved children. So if there's anything that we can learn from Jesus as he teaches us to pray, it's that God cares for us beyond any of our expectations. And God wants a relationship with each and every one of us, a relationship that is personal, that is close, that is devoted, that is humble, because God will not discipline. So we too must learn from Jesus how to pray. Not with demands or expectation or with arrogance or selfish inclination, but when we lean on God, ask Him intently and intentionally for God's intervention in our lives, and we recognize God's power, we put our faith in God's love, because faith and confidence is synonymous. If we have confidence in God, we have faith in God and God's love. So when we allow ourselves, because we're all protective in our own little way, and sometimes we just got to allow ourselves and open our spirit up and allow God's Holy Spirit to minister to us and help us through all kinds of stuff. And when we believe in God's power to change and to heal and resurrection and to intervene, God will answer our prayers. And God's solutions always supersede any imaginable outcome that could possibly that we can imagine. So my prayer for all of us is pray, pray fervently, pray intentionally, pray consistently, pray persistently, and ask that God will bless you. And I pray that God may bless your heart, your life, and your petitions, and come into a prayer of agreement with you and for you for whatever you're praying for. And God, we thank you for knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know our heart, and you know our prayers, and you know our needs before we even ask. And thank you for that.